The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
Kia ora and welcome to Soar with Jet on 96.4 Radio Southland. On the phone this morning I have Dr. Esther, who is the Principal Advisor at Health and Disability Commission, and Tylee, who is the Senior Advisor for Māori and Pasifika at Health and Disability Commission. 26 interview for 2025. And 543rd interview since the 25th of April 2018. Can you both introduce yourself and tell us about your role at the Health and Disability Commission?
Tēnā koutou katoa, ko mai au, ko Pākehā hau, ko te whanganui a tāra, ki te kāinga, ko tangana whakaha a hau, ko Esther Woodbury. My name is Esther Woodbury and I work in disability at the Health and Disability Commissioner's Office. My home is in Wellington. I'm a disabled person and it's lovely to be here today.
Tēnā koutou. Ko wai au e noho whakipinei I mua I a koutou. Ko mau au te maunga, ko tauranga te moana, ko naitirangi te iwi, ko te tūranga waiwai, ko te whakaruru hau o te moana o tauranga, ara ko te mautire e kia nei ko matakana, ko o ruarahi te ingoa o tuku marae, ko ngā tūpuna whare o runga ko te rangi hau huri rawa ko kūkai, ko naitama whirua te hapū, ko te kōtiki hoki o te whānau a te rangi hau huri rawa ko kūkai, e kōtiki manua u au ngō Ngai Te Rangi e mihi nei. Kia ora koutou, ko Kaili Te Arhi tōku ingoa.
For listeners who may not know, what is the Health and Disability Commission and what does it do?
Well, it's Esther speaking here. So the Health and Disability Commissioner, we have created a code of rights that everyone has rights when they get support or care from a health service or a disability service. So HDC creates a code of rights, and that's 10 rights. And we also can receive complaints if people feel that their rights haven't been upheld while they're receiving health or disability services. What we do with those complaints is we have a look at them, and quite often at the end of the complaint we'll make recommendations to improve the quality of the service, and that can be for an individual. So we can make recommendations about how to perhaps support an individual better, but we can also make recommendations for organisations about how we think that they could improve their services generally.
What are some of the most common issues or complaints the Health and Disability Commissioner hears from people with disabilities?
Hi, it's Esther here again. So we hear different complaints or issues from people depending on if it's a disability service or if it's a health service, but there's definitely some really common themes. For disabled people, we often hear about kind of accessibility around services, and that might have to do with communication. We also hear quite often about people who haven't been involved in decisions about maybe about the care that they're receiving, or also about how they're receiving support in general or decisions about their life. We also hear quite a lot about the difficulty that people have around navigating different services. So maybe in the health service, they might have difficulties accessing all the different parts of the health system that they need to, and getting the different parts of the health system to work together. Or also in the disability system, maybe it's difficult figuring out where you might be able to get support from, and what kinds of support you're eligible for, that kind of thing. So quite often here, but yeah, the difficulty is like trying to understand and engage with the health and disability system.
Yeah. Esther, what does your role as principal advisor involve on a day-to-day basis?
My role can really depend on the day, but sometimes I give people advice around complaints that we receive, and sometimes I might be helping to write a report. Sometimes we write reports about common experiences in the health system or the disability system. Last year we wrote a report about people's experiences in residential disability services, so yeah. I help write that report. Or quite often I meet with other organisations, like government agencies, to talk to them about the different experiences disabled people are having and how we might be able to improve the quality of those services.
Can you share an example where Health and Disability Commissioner involvement led to a significant improvement for disabled people?
One example that I can think of is quite often when people are receiving support in their home, sometimes they have the experience that people might not show up, or they might show up at the wrong time, or sometimes the person they thought was going to show up doesn't show up and somebody else does. So what we kind of do is, if we've had a complaint about that, is that we can get in touch with the specific organisation that's providing that service, and sometimes we can make recommendations that how to work with that person to help, you know, make sure that you're communicating clearly. But we also make recommendations generally, so it's not just about that individual. Say, we think you should make sure that everyone has really good communication around what time people will be there and what happens if your support person can't be there at that time. How do you plan for that? And so we talk to lots of different agencies. So it's not just, we try and help that individual person, but we also try and improve across all the different services.
How are disabled people involved in shaping Health and Disability Commission policies and resources?
Well, we do. We at our kind of the at the core of our organisation, we really care about what we call consumer voice. So we really care about listening to the people who make complaints to us, and making sure that the things that they have told us are at the centre of the resources that we create and the recommendations that we make. But sometimes we will we'll make a particular resource. So you might have heard of the Health Passport. We created that with disabled people, and we worked to figure out what would be really helpful when disabled people go into hospital. And so, we work closely with disabled people around making those kinds of resources.
Kylie, can you tell us more about your role?
Hi, tēnā koe, Jack. So my role is Senior Advisor Māori and Pacifica, and Trent Brown is our other Senior Māori Advisor at Pacifica, and both of us report to our Director Māori Ikimoki Pāmaki Tākare. Together we make the Māori Directorate, and we have an important role in supporting the Health and Disability Commissioner and its relationship with Māori, and giving practical effect to te tiriti or waitangi. We provide tikanga advice and support across all functions and projects within HDC. We also ensure that our complaints process is responsive to Māori by way of implementing a tikanga-led approach known as huia whānau. We also offer leadership and direction through the learning from that process, and provide internal support to all staff with their capacity and capability with Mātauranga Māori in support of HD's aspiration of being an inclusive and culturally safe organisation. At a consumer level, we basically provide an equitable space or platform where whānau can talk directly to their experience rather than engaging traditionally through a pen and paper type relationship with HDC. And from there, our role is largely to provide manaakitanga, making sure that they are feeling safe and secure in that space to talk to their experience. It's an honour to be invited into their whare haiora to hear what has happened for them and their whānau and the impact of that experience. And our job largely is to actively listen from a place to connect and understand the key issues so that we can make sure they are addressed through HDC's complaint resolution process. And that huia whānau also provides a space where the whānau can determine what resolution looks like for them to help them move on with the experience or to resolve their complaint. So that's a little bit about our role. We take a lot of the themes from the different complaints or huia whānau that we our team directly engages with and try and use our levers of influence to make changes in other spaces of the health and disability sector. So that's a little bit about our role, I suppose.
What unique challenges do Māori and Pasifika disabled people face in the health and disability system?
Oh, kia ora, it's Esther here again. I think that one of the key things is that disabled people face a lot of barriers in both the health and disability system, but Māori and Pacific disabled people sort of face a whole additional set of barriers in the system on top of that, and that can mean that while you're sort of finding it hard to navigate disability services or health services as a disabled person because they might be inaccessible, they might also not be culturally appropriate, might be really, really hard to be able to access Māori-led or Pacific-led disability services and health services. It's also, I know that particular group, for example, Tūri Māori, Deaf Māori, might really struggle to find an interpreter, a sign language interpreter who is fluent in both New Zealand Sign Language and Te Reo. So there's lots of really specific challenges that different groups can experience. And, you know, obviously, like, language can be a particular barrier that is kind of in place for Māori and Pacific disabled people, but I think also just, kind of being able to access services that understand you and your whānau and understand how you'd like to approach receiving support or receiving healthcare.
I think from just to, in addition to that, when I was talking before about the Māori Directorate leading a tikanga-led part within the complaints resolution process through huia whānau, what we've identified, Jack, through huia whānau, there seems to be a common thread or common themes that present themselves, and one of them is awareness of Māori, Pacifica and disabled people's needs and understanding and application. For example, being Māori or having a disability cannot be left outside the provider's door. It's just as important as the clinical needs, and there needs to be a large improvement in that area across the health and disability sector. It is part of the person. It's part of their identity. It's not secret to, you can't divide it or detach it from them. It's part of who they are. And so I guess it's those services recognising and understanding they are treating a person and the whole person, not just a clinical component or their disability, so to speak. Another thing that's come through too is, and Esther touched on it a little bit in terms of communication or language, responsive communication is critical. A relational way of speaking with, by and for people, and actively listening to them to understand and to connect with their needs, their tikanga and their context. We hold the view at HDC that the consumer is the expert of their experiences and of their tinana. So those who work in the health and disability sector, communication is really important, that communication style of with and for the consumer and their whānau, and not minimising or excluding anyone. And active listening is a key part of communication. And the third one, a common thing that comes up, is the lack of support and resources for Māori Pacifica and those who have a disability. So in accessibility to a kaitaka wāinga or kaitiaki or pōtikanga roles, for example, there's a lot to learn. There's a lot for clinical staff to learn from those valuable roles, and that requires, you know, ongoing resourcing and professional development, but also monitoring of quality assurance and workforce standards to strengthen our workforce in that space for the benefit of our Māori, Pacifica and disabled peoples. Ka pai?
Yeah, tāpai. What does the Health and Disability Commissioner assure culturally safe and responsive services for whānau Māori and Pasifika communities?
So earlier on I touched on huia whānau. So huia whānau is that equitable space, I suppose, one way of describing it. It's basically a hui with whānau. It's opened with tikanga in terms of karakia, mihi mihi, whakawhanaungatanga, and we hand over the rākau to the whānau to talk to their experience and share with us their complaints, etc. Our whānau who have engaged in that process have described it as very healing. It takes a lot of pressure off. It feels like they have spoken, their complaint is valid. They feel like it's been heard, and that in itself is quite healing when you're able to talk about experience, but talk with people who get your context, so you don't have to justify your cultural beliefs, your tikanga, your who you are as a person, is really helpful to them, they have described. That's one aspect that we HDC does to ensure it's a culturally safe and responsive service for Māori and Pacifica communities. The other part our team provides is hoa tirongo. So that is an opportunity for providers and the consumers to come together to hear the experience, to hear the nawe or the take or the mamai, the complaint. So I can't really find an equivalent English word for it, so we'll go with complaint for now. For the whānau, and that's not opportunity for the whānau to return the hara where it came from, but also for the providers to show face, which is huge in Te Ao Māori, to to be present in a hui where something uncomfortable has been described or some conflict has been described, and to take ownership of that or responsibility for that, not just in a transactional sense, but this is another koha that our people have given to you. What transformative change are you going to make to your practice, to your services, to your systems that will ensure this doesn't happen to Māori Pacific disabled people again? So that is another healing process, but it also fits well with our whānau. Providers have spoken really positively about it. I found it very helpful and informative as well. So it's bringing back, I suppose, the importance of kōrero.
Yeah.
So all of these are practices that involve being in person, having conversations, and working together to find resolution. Another culturally safe and responsive services for Māori and Pacific communities is we go out into the regions and in the areas and try and connect with whole water Māori services within providers to build our champions around the country and to support them in upholding the Consumer Code of Rights for their people who access their services and to empower those and educate their staff around how to maintain consumers' code of rights.
So
our work is quite varied and it's all about relationships and it's meaningful relationships across the country. It's quite surprising. Not many of our communities know about HDC or the Consumer Code of Rights. They see the poster on the wall but don't think it applies to them. So it's quite a privilege to go around and keep those words off the paper and bring it to life for them.
Could you share a story of it or example of a culturally grounded advocacy making a difference?
Yeah, I can. I'm just trying... We'll just protect the identity of providers in this space.
Actually, tie notes, okay.
When people make complaints to HDC, there's a particular pathway that complaint follows. And out of the, towards the end, there may be a final opinion being given with some recommendations. One recommendation was around supporting the service with and the staff with their understanding and application of tikanga Māori. So one of the positive outcomes from that was the provider created an FTE for a potikanga in the emergency department, realising that people don't leave their cultural self at the door, even in emergencies. There can be ways that you take care of people from a Māori-led point of view, and the potikanga's role was there to support and the staff in that learning and in that shift of practice. So I would say that is a story I could share. We've got many stories, actually, but from the top of the head, I think that's been a highlight so far, and we've had others as well.
What progress have you seen in the disability space over the past few years?
Oh, kia ora, Esther here. There's been a lot of change in the disability space in the last few years, but I'd say some really important progress around understanding and the actual doing of supporting people to make decisions about their own lives. For example, there's been some legislation changes and there's been Waikaha, which is the Ministry of Disabled People, have just developed a website around supported decision-making, which helps people who want to make decisions in their life, and also it helps kind of family and support staff and other professionals who want to support those people to make decisions. So there's been a lot of work in that space. There's some work that is happening by the Law Commission around supported decision making, and that will have like a really, really huge impact on disabled people's lives, also people who are accessing the mental health system and older people as well. So I think there's been some really great work around supported decision making.
What still needs to change to ensure equity, dignity and inclusion for all disabled people?
Well, there's lots of change, and I think the really important kaupapa of HDC is that we kind of our focus is on continuous improvement, so we can always make services better for people. And so we're always advocating, always making recommendations to make improvements. There's always huge room for change. But if I could change, you know, a kind of a range of areas, it would be around accessibility for disabled people in the health system, as well as in the disability support system. That services were more person-centred, so that not only, you know, if we think about our identity, and that might be a Māori Pacific identity, might be a Pākehā identity, but that it also might be that we, you know, might have a range of different conditions or something like that, but that when you engage with health and disability services, people are paying attention to the whole person, and that we're not split up into, oh, there's a Māori health service over here, but also there's a specialist service in this hospital. You know, it's that we get support, and that support all works together, so it's easier for people to not have to kind of be constantly trying to understand how these different services and supports work together.
How often, every day, New Zealanders, disabled and non-disabled, support better outcome for the disabled community?
I would say that the most important thing from my perspective is that we all, because so disabled people often come together in groups and talk about the kind of barriers that they've experienced and the challenges they're facing in lots of different areas of society. And they come together and they talk about, yeah, what the issues are, but also what the solutions are and what would really work for them. So if I could, if I could get all people in Aotearoa to listen to groups of disabled people in particular, obviously listen to individuals when you're engaging with them or if you're working with them, but I think it's also really important to kind of look to where disabled people have come together and shown leadership around trying to improve systems, and listen to those solutions and do your best to support those solutions and bring those changes about.
What keeps each of you passionate about the work you do?
Kia ora, Jack. There was a Tungi Tawhio, New Zealand's second Māori king from the Waikato. He had a well-known tumikura that starts off with a phrase called Titua o Aku Mokapuna. It expresses a commitment to creating a better better future for generations to come, in other words, our unborn mokapuna. So being in this space and working with these complaints day in and day out just reinforces that whakaaro, we have an obligation to do better. So that hopefully when our unborn mokapuna arrives, they're not experiencing the same mamai our people are currently experiencing.
That's a perfect answer, Carly. I completely agree. That's why I do this work as well.
If you were to change one thing overnight in the health and disability system, what would it be?
I think it goes back to what I said earlier, which is around I wish that supports and services were not kind of so separate and cut off from each other, so that people were able to say, I need support and this is the kind of support they need, and that services and support could wrap around them and provide that without too much having to without sort of having to kind of go from one different service to another and explain yourself over and over again. There was more of a kind of relationship-based way that we provided support, that you've got, really strong relationships and people are able to, just communicate with maybe one person or a few people about what they need, and then the system around them figures out a way to make that happen.
It's really nature determined resources, eh? Not the other way around. I suppose in addition to what Esther has just shared, is really understanding what we mean by people-centred.
you know, having a system that nurtured relationships, looked after people, and were careful about how others are treated, no matter who they are or where they come from. And a value that comes to mind from is manaakitanga, which is about the behaviours and actions that honour and uphold the mana of others. It's reciprocal, because by honouring other the mana of others, you in turn uphold your own. That would be something I'd like to see.
Last question. Finally, what's your message to disabled people listening who might feel unheard or disempowered?
Well, perhaps I'll start, and then Kylie, if you want to say anything. Sure. But I think first we really encourage you to have a look at your rights under the Code of Rights and think about what that means for you specifically when you're receiving support. And we really encourage people to speak up, and they can speak up, you know, at the time when they're receiving services, or they can speak up afterwards and say, I would like things to be different, or I felt like something didn't quite go well when I was receiving support. And you can speak up to the people providing the support at the time, or you can make a complaint to HDC. But I think, yeah, the key thing is think about your rights and think about what they mean for you specifically. And, yeah, talk about them with other people. Talk about what your rights mean and how you would like things to be. So I just encourage people to have a look at the Code of Rights, and I think they'll probably really see themselves in them. We really encourage you to think, those are my rights, and I can say if something wasn't right.
That's a really good point, Esther. I think that is probably key, is knowing you have rights. You have 10 rights under the Health and Disability Commissioners Act. You have rights, but you also have a voice, and keep talking until you are heard. And HDC is one of the places that we will do our best to listen to your voice and make sure that it is heard.
Show is available as a podcast on the Radio Southland website, radiosouthland.org.nz. You can stream or download from our site. Just look for the program tab, links to stream podcasts, and also be found on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Radio Southland. You can subscribe on the Apple Podcast platform and never miss an episode. You can also look for the podcast on Spotify. Search us out and make sure you follow us. Or the Doodle Play or the Apple App Store, and then make sure you select Radio Southland as your station. Thank you, Toyle and Esther, for giving me the opportunity to interview you over the phone this afternoon. Keep up the awesome work you do as the Principal Advisor at Health and Disability Commission, and Toyle, the Senior Advisor for Māori and Pacifica. This podcast will do live on the radio at 12:10 on Wednesday, the 13th of August at 12:10, and replay on Friday, the 15th of August at 1:45 on 96.4 Radio Southland. Thank you.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.